Hellman on CliffCentral.com.
All right, how are you, Mr. Jason Adrian?
I'm good, and thanks for having me.
It's such a pleasure. Get nice and close to that mic over there. Talk to me about your relationship with entrepreneurship. Let's kick it off there.
Yeah, I mean, having been from a really small town in the Eastern Cape called Hanky.
Hanky,
yeah. Hmm. Sounds interesting.
I immediately wanted to make a hanky panky reference. I'm sure you get that a lot. That's standard
with the intro. So having been from there, like, I took an interest in technology and the internet because there's nothing else really going on in a small town other than the internet when you have it. And so obviously got into a whole bunch of sort of tech entrepreneurs online and got into, you know, the business and tech side of things. So that's where the interest really started in entrepreneurship. Because you sort of build your own thing and you've got tons of time to do so when you're young. And in hanky.
Yeah, growing up. Get really nice and close to that mic now and talk to me about kind of navigating a career in entrepreneurship.
That's so in the early stages of my career, as a student, actually, I started the whole entrepreneurship thing. And I really did it because I needed extra cash at the time. And before then, I mean, my brother and I, we ran a little video store, actually, in Hanky, which was more like a holiday sort of hobby than anything else. But the journey in the sort of real world entrepreneurship started in Cape Town when I was at UCT studying and doing some freelance work and then eventually taking on more development work and sort of make an extra buck when you're a student. Especially when you're living away from home, every cent counts. So that's where I got into it, and my journey into, you know, I'm currently not really doing my own business. I'm at ENCA, obviously, heading up their development. But, you know, back then, entrepreneurship, 2011 was when I did the Old Mutual thing, which was quite interesting. Was the last little bout with entrepreneurship that I had in the recent past.
I mean, it is something that creeps into everything that one does. I would imagine when you start to develop that mindset and that way of thinking, it would influence everything that you do. I mean, specifically in your case, though, there is this very strong technology push as well. Was it ever a push and pull between technology and entrepreneurship, or was it an idea to make them both work together? Do they work together? I mean, developing for ENCA, you're obviously also looking at monetizing whatever it is that you do develop, which in itself is an example of entrepreneurship and incorporating tech into it. So talk to me about the relationship that those two things have had in your life.
So technology and entrepreneurship always went together for me. I was always into technology, and I was always into business. My dad's actually a businessman. He ran some a store, and he has a number of properties and did a number of things. So, like, it was almost part of the DNA to think about the business opportunities that you'd sort of take advantage of. And in terms of tech, because I had a natural inclination and natural interest in that stuff, they just went together, really. And sort of my journey to becoming head of development at ENCA has been part of this sort of exploration, if you will, because sort of doing entrepreneurship, you try everything. I don't know if you've freelanced or done any of that type of thing. You sort of take on every single opportunity that you get, and eventually you end up in, you know, possibly taking a job for a couple of years. But it's been interesting. I actually joined ENCA as a consultant and as a developer. Within BuiltNeat, which was the development business that I ran at the time, and that got me into ENCA. So, entrepreneurship, technology, it's been a fun journey.
Let's talk about the state of what you're doing now. In May 2016, you're over at ENCA as the head of development. against a media landscape of digital, of online, of mobile journalism, of people making their own news, being there to capture it, of, you know, the main platform being traditional TV, but also a strong emphasis online. What does the word development mean within that landscape, specifically in the context of ENCA?
Yeah, I mean, developers have become, it's weird. Back in the day, devs are, you know, traditionally thought of as the people sitting downstairs in the dark room, just working independently and creating these products that everyone else uses. But you find that technology is so closely married to everything that we do, especially in journalism and media these days, that you really need to think of it as a multidisciplinary team. And at ENCA, it's very much like that. I mean, we work on many projects where the development team is very intimately tied to the story and how the story would be delivered online and distributed online. So developers play a much bigger role these days, and especially in media companies. And you're seeing a lot of innovative stuff happening all around the world, you know, like the New York Times, for example, as well. I've done some phenomenal things in this regard, where they create these rich digital experiences to sort of complement the storytelling, exactly. And with all of these new platforms available, to be competitive, you really need to marry technology with your storytelling.
Yeah, I mean, is it not walking into a position like this every day in such a competitive environment? You know, in an internet context, in a news has to as it breaks, you got to try and be the person that's going to be, you know, get the most eyeballs. And that, does it ever become overwhelming?
It is. It was, in fact, when I started this position, it was the most overwhelming, because things that they don't tell you is that, you know, when you learn how to be a developer, they don't teach you how to build products that need to scale to a million users. For example, the day Nelson Mandela Memorial was probably one of the most difficult days that for the country, but also for me as a developer in that position, because I was heading up the departments. And I remember that was the very early stages of the platform that we had just developed, and all of a sudden we had tens of thousands of people hitting our servers at the same time, and I had the most difficult time. I was nearly underneath my desk trying to just cope. But, you know, servers falling over, all sorts of unexpected things happening. So the early stages, there were a lot of learning curves in this position. But with time, I think that, you know, with the experience and the education that comes with that, it becomes a little bit easier to cope on the technological front. But with regards to storytelling, every new story has its own challenges.
The concept of storytelling, I mean, regardless of the platform, regardless of, you know, the piece of innovation that you've developed, do the fundamentals of that always stay true? And if so, what are those fundamentals in your opinion?
You know, there's so many new frameworks and new ways of doing things coming out all the time. I think that what you need to fundamentally do is try and keep up to date all the time with what the trends are, what's happening, how people are using it. One of the most dangerous things that could possibly happen to you is to stagnate, because tech moves fast. Just 2 years ago, people wouldn't even have thought of using Snapchat, for example. Now everyone's on Snapchat. Snapchat was it's actually worth nearly $20 billion now. You know, if you're asleep at the wheel, you might miss the boat. And that's the thing with technology. And I mean, Twitter, for example. This is actually one of the stories that I discussed earlier on Moneyline as well. Is Twitter. About 5 years ago, you have 1,000 followers, and 1,000 followers would actually engage with your content. Now you have 1,000 followers, nearly no one even clicks the like button because of the engagement deteriorating so rapidly. So it's very important to keep on top of the trends, what's happening, and where audiences are moving.
How do you decide where to focus your energy? I mean, here you are, you're sitting ENCA, the most respected news platform, TV news platform in the country. You've got a certain amount of resources, and then you've got all these things that you need to do. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat, ENCA.com, ENCA the TV channel, ENCA radio. Like, how the hell do you decide where you're going to devote your attention, what you're going to invest your time and energy into, even though it may not yield immediate results?
Yeah.
And then on top of that, I'll add the other element after you give me the answer.
It's incredibly difficult, but because there's always a thousand different things that you can do. And I think it really comes down to a little bit of pragmatism, but also knowing where your wins are, you know. We always have at least five or six different things in the backlog that need to be worked on and need to be done that we consider important. But from a practical point of view, we can't do all of that stuff. So we need to pick the battles that are going to yield the best results for us. That's how we pretty much look at it. Fortunately, all I have to focus on is the digital side of things, and not the channel side of things. But
they work together.
No, they absolutely do. And, you know, fortunately, we've got a great team at ENCA. And within the online space, you know, you're never going to have as many developers as Facebook does.
Uh-huh.
And so you need to pick your battles very carefully.
Yeah, because the layer I wanted to add to it is that so you pick the battles that you're going to, you know, choose and that, and where you're going to grow the audience, how you're going to make an impact in digital, then how do you make money from it?
Yeah, I mean, this is the biggest challenge to publishers since the invention of the internet. Making money online is, contrary to what people believe, very difficult, especially for publishers, because you have to have a lot of resources behind you. I mean, you have to have a massive audience before you can start making money off advertising. You guys know it at Cliff Central. This is true for you guys as well. You need to have a big audience before you can start monetizing that audience, especially if you have this ad model. There's a whole different types of models out there available to sort of monetize, but ultimately for publishers, most publishers are still going the ad route. And I think fundamentally it comes down to knowing who your audience is. Having a big audience is useful, but more importantly, knowing exactly who your audience is and having them very engaged with your platform, because engagement is the new big metric for advertisers.
But people just aren't loyal anymore. I know I'm not loyal. I'm not gonna, you know, whoever brings it to me first is the person that's gonna get me to engage with it.
Yeah.
And how do you navigate that? And actually, screw that. Even how do you navigate that?
Yeah.
Are we cool as human beings anymore? I mean, like, is this the end nigh?
I mean, people are, you're right, people aren't loyal, but I do think that brand, like, if you know, an unknown blog posts something versus a big news organization, trust still does have a massive impact on where people decide
to consume
the news.
If Iman wasn't involved, it's not real.
Yeah. But above and beyond that, there are a bunch of credible news organizations. And when it comes to that, I think it ultimately comes down to the content and the quality of the content, the speed of delivery for some and for other news organizations, it's the quality of the content. I think quality of content is important. Depth and quality, you know. You can do what you want with the tech. If the content's not good, then
nothing's going to happen.
Exactly.
It's been very cool having you on. This will be my final question to you. So we look at this word development, which is a very big part of your narrative right now. Just give me advice on how to put the right energy into developing whatever it is that one wants to do. Or sort of tying in development into, I don't know, in a very poetic, metaphorical way. This word development, what kind of relationship should we have with this word in the context of our own lives? A lot of it's to do with putting in stuff in order to get a certain outcome.
Yeah.
And that process of development can be a difficult one.
Yeah.
So just some advice on developing ourselves.
I think with if you have anything that you want to do in life, any, you know, objective, project, dream that you're trying to accomplish, what you absolutely have to do is do it. And I think a lot of people just forget that there's a lot of doing, and you need to stop listening to, you know, the Gary Vaynerchuks and the, you know, the entrepreneurs out there that continuously try and educate you as to, you know, stop with the theory and start doing. Because as soon as you start building stuff, as soon as you start putting actions in, you're going to get somewhere.
Yeah, and something happens.
Something will happen.
Yeah.
You'll fail, but you'll learn out of that experience, and that's the most important thing.
And this guy should know. He's head of development at one of the top news institutions, probably even in the continent, doing some unbelievable stuff. And I know this because ENC are always on my timelines. I don't know how they do it, but they're always popping up everywhere.
That's
so you're doing
Edwards.
Something good. Okay, yeah. Jason Adrian, thank you so much for stopping by. It's Jason Adrian on Twitter. Of course, you can catch him on ENCA's Moneyline as the technology contributor. But you know that behind the scenes, he's pulling all the strings as well. Jason, thank you so much for stopping by.
Thanks. It was better. Kelman on CliffCentral.com.